The story goes that early one morning after a big storm, an old man went out to look for shells on the beach. But as the sun rose and the tide went out, what he found were not shells, but thousands and thousands of starfish stranded high on the beach by the storm surge. They went on in both directions as far as he could see. And then he noticed something else. A young man, a little way down the beach, making a rhythmic motion. As the old man approached, he realized what the young man was doing. Over and over again, he was bending down, picking up a starfish, flinging it into the sea, and shuffling his feet to begin the process again with the next one. "But what do you hope to accomplish?" said the old man. "You could be out here all day and not make a dent. There's simply too many of them. It won't make a difference." The young man paused a moment. He looked at the old man, and then he bent down and picked up another starfish and flung it into the sea. "It made a difference," he told the old man, "for that one." When we are faced with the overwhelming needs of this world, it can feel like there is no way our efforts can make a difference. Mass acts of violence like we saw again this week, hunger, abuse, addiction, poverty, environmental destruction, they're enormous, massive, national-sized problems. And the temptation for us is to assume that we're too small to have an impact. We can get overwhelmed and become cynical when faced with the great needs of this world. And the temptation is to just pull back from it all, look out for ourselves, and not engage with the need that we're afraid is just too big for us to make a dent in. If that's where we find ourselves, then I think this widow's offering, the starfish story, it's a helpful corrective. What can we do? What should we do as people of God? Well, we're called to live out God's kingdom of love and healing where we are and with what we have. Jesus actually is all about this, right? Jesus, who knows that when he comes in glory, he will restore all of creation. Jesus, who knows already that in his death and resurrection, he will defeat the power of sin and death once and for all. And yet, in the Gospels, even though Jesus knows that all of that healing and wholeness is coming, the world-scale healing and restoration of all that ails and pains, he knows it's on the way. Even yet, over and over again, Jesus still engages with suffering where he finds it. Where he is, he works for healing. That's what we're called to do, too. That's who we're called to be. People who believe and trust that Jesus is ultimately going to be the only one who can fix all of this mess. But also people who get started bringing relief right now where we encounter suffering. We're called to make a difference. Even if what we do seems small to us, it makes a difference. I want to take the opportunity this morning to say a word of thanks to you for making a difference, particularly in the life of this congregation. We have so many faithful givers, and your stewardship of what God has entrusted to you, it makes a huge difference in the life of this congregation, because none of us, not those with the smallest amounts in the bank and not those with the most amount in the bank, none of us could do this ministry on our own. It takes us working together, using resources together to be able to do what we do. So thank you, because your giving, it makes a difference. This week, it made a difference in multiple trips to Baptist Hospital to visit and pray with a sick woman and her family. It made a difference in time spent together with Brantley's family, planning for his baptism coming up on Sunday. It made a difference in the life of children who got to take food home from school so they'd have something so they wouldn't be hungry at home. It made a difference for somebody who was having a really, really tough week this last week or so, and who really needed and was able to access some support and prayers. Your giving, your ministry makes a difference. So thank you for being about that difference. If you believe in those ministries, I hope you'll continue to give in support of the mission of this congregation to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in this place and respond in loving action to a needy world. Even small amounts make that difference. And if you're interested, I'd be glad to talk with you about how even folks with small amounts can make a big difference, a big impact on this ministry through things like planning for a tithe in your will. But look, when we talk about giving, what we're about is even more than those wonderful ministries of this place that we've been talking about this morning. Because the other place that giving makes a big difference is actually in you. In our good moments, we understand on some level that all that we have and all that we are comes from God, and that God calls us to use those resources we shepherd for the good of the community with particular concern for those in need. But the thing is, we live in this world where from childhood we are trained in a different model, a model of consumption. And it's almost like an addiction that we're not aware of, because there's always something a little newer and a little better coming out, and we want it. I catch myself all the time walking through Walmart going, oh, you know, we could fit a bigger TV in the living room. Do I need it? No, I know that I don't. The one I have's fine. It's only a few years old. But do I want that one? I do. I'm not saying we can't have anything nice, but I bet there are things that catch you like this, right? Things that you don't need, but that you want anyway. There is a point where the nice things sort of have us instead of the other way around. The more we get tied into this consumer system, the more we actually become the ones being consumed. And there are a couple of dangers here. One, of course, is that we forget to use what is entrusted to us to make a difference for others. But the other danger is that we are changed for the worse. Because if what we are about is consumption, then the world becomes all about us, doesn't it? What can I get? What do I want? And what God wants, what others need, can sort of get lost, take a back seat. We mix up our priorities. So actually, a huge part of why we give has to do with making a difference not for other people, but in us. Giving resources away, even when we know that Walmart has TVs that would fit in my living room that have way deeper black ratios, actually, and extra screen inches from what I have now, giving away resources anyway, it reorients us away from our disordered desires and back toward God. It's an intentional habit and practice of recognizing and honoring God with financial decisions, placing God's good desires for us and the world over and above our disordered desires that we know sometimes are not right. It's the treatment for our sinful tendency to put ourselves and what we want first. We give to make a difference, but not just for other people, for us. We give because we realize that if we want to make a difference in the world, we first need to change what happens in our own hearts. The widow puts her $1.25 or whatever it is into the temple offering, knowing that she faces tremendous challenges. But what she has going for her is a trust and a faith in a God who will not let her down. I want to be like her. I want to trust like that, to have faith like that. But look, that's not a faithfulness that we simply stumble into. We wake up one morning and we have that kind of trust. It takes practice, and giving is one of the most effective means of changing our hearts. We practice giving to practice changing our hearts. So give as a treatment for your own sinful selfishness. Give to make a difference, not just for somebody else, but for your heart. Amen.